The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
You just patted yourself on the back.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
You're just so great. I love your show.
Am I close?
No.
Does that comfort you?
No.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to confess it, because I'm a holy guy.
I'm a little intimidated to talk to you because you used a lot of big words.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place. You came to the wrong place if you're looking for deep answers.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Uh-huh. Yes. I see. Tell me more. How does that make you feel? Can you go with that? Explore your options. I'm just doing show prep. Loosening up, warming up. You can't come on to the program and just start talking. I tried that once. I pulled a lower lip muscle. I was out. I was out for 3 days. My wife appreciated it because I just nodded most of the time. But it's important. It's important to stretch before the program. In case you couldn't tell, the common denominator in all of that show prep, I'm a psychologist. Sounded pretty shrinky, didn't it? I know, we get paid for that. Uh-huh. Oh, I see. Yeah, I charge by the affirmation. You come into the office, and there's a scale. It's a sliding scale. If you get 20 or less affirmations per therapeutic hour, and that's standard rate. If you want more, if you really want the deluxe package, because you know when you go to anything nowadays and you buy the package, you can get the silver package or the gold package or the platinum package. So I got those packages. Plackages? I got those packages. See, I should have warmed up more. If somebody wants 50 or more affirmations, that's almost one a minute. That's a lot. And I ask, can a head nod suffice? Would a head nod be okay? This is a nonverbal kind of affirmation. If you want affirmation, perhaps if you deserve it, you may not deserve it. Or if you just want a thought or two, I'll guarantee that. Call the program. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. This is a call-in program. I virtually never have a guest other than you. Now, I'm toying with having a guest. Believe it or not, going to go outside the normal structure of the program. There is a gentleman that is kind of my hero. He's one of my heroes. I think he's a modern C.S. Lewis. And if we can get him on the program for a segment or two, I'd love to have him. I feel pretty much like a kindergartner next to him intellectually. And I'm going to do everything I can to try to relate at least on a third grade level. So if you would like to get onto the program with a question or comment or helpful suggestion for somebody else regarding life, circumstances, situations, people you like, people you struggle to like, people that drive you crazy, your kids that drive you crazy. Hey, look, if you want to be holy, you got to recognize it's going to be a lot tougher if you got kids. You're living with unsocialized, immoral human beings, at least in the littler stages anyway. Understand this? So, therefore, to deal with these children, you have to work a lot harder on things like frustration and charity and voice volume and emotions. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. I'd love to hear from you. I had a relative years ago come up to me and tell me that on an afternoon TV talk show, they had this fascinating topic. The topic was, we don't see ourselves as other people see us. And I looked at this relative and I was a bit stunned initially. I didn't say anything. Didn't want to trivialize what she shared with me. I just, I see. When you're in trouble, just rely upon non-descript, non-judgmental, psychological, non-verbal responses. And I asked her what was so fascinating about that. She said that she always just assumed that people knew themselves. I'm a shrink. One thing I do know, we don't know ourselves. When St. Paul says, when we're with our Lord, we'll be known even as we are known, he kind of nodded. He recognized that it's not easy to know yourself. You may think you do. The old philosophers, first know thyself. People come to the office. Part of the reason is they don't know themselves. They want to know why they're doing what they're doing. They're struggling with what they're doing. They're making moves and having marriages that are friction-filled. Why is this? What's going on? And a lot of times they don't see themselves. It is easier for us to recognize that we look at other people and say, can't they see what they're like? Why are they like that? If I even told them what they did, they would look at me like I'm crazy. Where am I coming from with that? It's so obvious to me. And matter of fact, it's obvious to a whole lot of other people. I had an email not so long ago. Somebody asked me, how do I tell my sister how much she complains? She's always complaining. She doesn't even see that she complains. How do I tell her? And I had a pretty good answer to that one. I say, you probably don't. She's been doing it for years. It's part of who she is. She doesn't recognize it. And unless you can find an incredibly unthreatening, gentle way to bring it up, she'll look at you like, what? What are you talking about? And then she might say something like, you know, I really have a hard time with people like you. And she'll complain about you. Always keep in mind, I think is a good thought of life, when we look at someone else and say, can't they see what they're like? My gosh, they're so negative. Or, why are they always talking about themselves? Or, ooh, they're so insecure. All the stuff that we so readily see in everybody else. Keep in mind, we can't know what we don't know about ourselves. In other words, am I not recognizing what I'm like? That scares me, that thought. Because I know it's true. There's no way I have confidence in myself thinking, I surely know what I'm like. I surely know my motives. I surely know what my personality traits are. I don't. My goal, and I make this a prayer constantly, Lord, you got to show me. Lord, I don't know. You got to show me. Because I got to see this. I got a wife. She'll show me. And I trust her. And even when I have, even when I have total, complete confidence in what she tells me about myself, even though I know she's doing it out of love, and I know I trust her insights, I've lived with her long enough, my first response that I have to beat down is defensiveness. Why is she thinking that about me? Maybe this could be one of the times in Randy's life when she's wrong. No, that's not it. I have to tell the Lord, thank you. I asked you to tell me, and you used my wife to tell me. It is so easy for us to look at another individual and say, don't they see what they're like? Don't they see what they do? Let's spend... No, I'm not going to include you in this. You do what you want. I'm going to include me in this. It would do me well to spend more of my time trying to figure out what I'm like, recognizing that knowing myself won't be complete until if and when I'm with the Lord. 877-573-7825. A lot of calls up there. Thank you. I hope you people know yourselves. Because if you don't, I'm going to tell you. Tired of spending all this time trying to know myself. Dr. Ray.
Make your dreams come true!
I didn't know you could do that.
I could write a book about what you don't know.
Now, wait a second.
Relax. The doctor is in.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
I worked in pro baseball for a long time, and we play on Sundays. And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass. Got caught up in that whole selfishness, that whole, I can do it all. The times when I was struggling were the times I needed God the most. And now that I've come back and accepted God, my world has completely changed.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. The Catholic faith has enemies. We're Catholics. We have enemies. They are a danger to the faith. And yet we're called to defend the faith, to instruct the ignorant, and to love our enemies. These enemies abuse divine revelation, they abuse science and religion, they abuse our history and our past, they abuse power and wealth. We have to learn how to deal with our enemies by picking up a copy of my book, Dangers to the Faith. You can find it online at AveMariaRadio.net.
I listen to recordings of this show, which I don't like to do because it's awful. Yeah, he does it every time. See, this shows you a classic example of what the media can do to you. Example. The implication is the show's awful. I went on to say it's awful to listen to yourself and hear what you sound like. That's what I said. But you see what the media can do? Andrew Krucek, producer man, has way too much power to create a persona that I may not have. Jamie, a guy from St. Louis, his wife came home from Mass the other day. She felt bad. She was worrying because she was 4 minutes short of the hour fast before receiving communion. How much did it bother her, Jamie? She fret about it all day and say she's got to go to communion because she committed a serious sin or confession?
No, not quite. No, not at all, actually. But it fretted me, though, because, I admire her. I admire the desire to adhere to that, I don't know what you want to call it, to our law or whatever it is that we have, 1 hour fast, for lack of a better term. But I don't know. My wife, it's like she's very direct like that. And it just, I mean, She must be sitting there at church. I can imagine her sitting in the pew counting minutes.
Got the stopwatch.
I got the stopwatch.
And I'm going to get the end of the line and get myself by myself another couple of minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it just bothers me a little bit because I'm like, stop. You know, I don't know. I guess in my mind I'm thinking, you know, I think Jesus understands a little bit better, okay? And I don't know. It just bothers me.
All right. Well, we got two angles to this particular question. The one is your wife's. One time I was at a meeting. I went up for communion, and I told the priest, it was a small group, and I told the priest, I said, you know, Father, I don't think it's been quite an hour. It's been a few minutes short. And he just smiled and gave me communion and said, come on, we're not going to go to the minute here. And I remember that, and it meant a lot to me. Obviously, you want it to be an hour, but if something happens that you're a minute or two short, I think you're right, and I've had a priest confirm that. But here's the bigger part. You. Why does that bother you? Your wife, hey, she's welcome to be a little fretful about that. That's okay. She wants to do it. You can say, honey, I don't think you need to torment yourself over this. And if she looks at you and says, yeah, you're right. Ah, good point. Or if she looks at you and says, you don't understand. I want to do it. I want to do it right. I want to be good. Okay. Don't let it bug you. See, all right. I'm going to come at this from a psychologist's point, Jamie. The fact that you're upset, that she's upset about something that you think is really somewhat small, tells me that there's something about, and you tell me I'm wrong, I could be way off, not likely, something about the way your wife approaches religion that bothers you. Maybe she takes it too scrupulously, or maybe she's too black and white, or maybe she's too intense about it, or something. Am I wrong?
It's scarily correct.
I knew it. I knew it. There for a
scarily
moment.
Scarily correct.
There for a moment, you had me a little nervous. Because I was bracing myself, waiting to hear, no, you missed it, Dr. Ray. You're way off. Now, you could have done that if you wanted to throw me under the radio bus. But you didn't. Yeah, I think that's what it is. You know, for something like that to bother you, it's got to be part of a bigger picture. Your wife is...
It is. She's, you know, and I love her to death. And she knows that. But you're right. It's almost like we don't get any arguments about it. But I just like, dear, just lighten up just a little bit. Not everything. I mean, yes.
How long you been married? How long you been married?
21 years.
Are you a slow learner?
Yes.
Okay. 21 years, and you're gone. I'm still telling her to lighten up, and she's not.
I'm figuring one of these times it may take. I don't know.
Who's the one who, you know, if you accuse your wife of being black and white, who's the one here? You know, 21 years, you're still doing this.
Boy, you're right there, brother. Oh my gosh.
Does your head hurt from hitting it up against the cinder block wall?
Yeah, a little bit. It's leaving a scar by now, I think. It's irreversible.
Give her a big kiss and say, baby, I love you. I think you fret too much about this. Our Lord wants you to have peace and relax, and you fret too much about this. I wish you wouldn't fret so much. That's the way you approach it.
Dr. Ray, thank you again for your sound advice, brother.
Appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Take
Bye.
Care. All right. Bye-bye.
Kathleen from Duluth, Georgia loves me. She loves me. Well, she doesn't. She didn't use the word love. She used the word like. Okay. See, this is a classic example of my former life. If I had a girl in my life, she always said, well, I like you for a friend. The kiss of death for a 14-year-old boy who has a crush on a girl hearing, I like you for a friend. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
How are you, dear?
I don't know. I thought you would try to tell me.
Well, I don't know, because you just said you liked how you like to listen to the program because you like the humor.
Yes, you made me laugh a lot when I felt really bad some days.
Well, I'm glad to be able to do that, you know?
Well, you said you want somebody to call if they want to be a parent. So I'd see, that's all I would call and see what you would say.
How sweet are you? This is an affirmation call. We have you on the affirmation line. Typically, that line is wide open, and it'll stay wide open for weeks at a time. So we put you on the positive affirmation line because you said, I want to affirm Dr. Ray. You are sweet. Hey, Kathleen, I don't care what the other girls say about you. I think you're a nice person.
Well, some people say that and some people say other things.
Bless you, dear.
That doesn't change you from being who you are.
Thank you for the call, honey. Thank you. I'll talk to you. By the way, she's from Georgia. And have you noticed from down south, when somebody from down south wants to really rip you up, tell you something you don't want to hear, there's somewhere in that conversation is going to be a bless your heart. Well, I can't believe how late you are and how you make me wait every single time. Bless your heart. Well, it amazes me how you're constantly talking about yourself. You don't seem to pay any attention to what anybody else has to say. Bless your heart. Oh, where are we going to go here? Let's continue on with the black-white scrupulosity question. I'm sure our Lord did not want us to do this. He wants us to have peace, and we torment ourselves with this whole idea. I just got to be so right, so good. There's a little bit of pride at the base of that. Hi, Laura, Indianapolis. How are you?
Hi, Dr.
Hey, Laura. Thank you for the call, dear.
Thank you for taking my call.
Well, now that we got the gratitude out of the way, let's talk.
Okay. So my son, who is 7 years old, he has what his teacher calls a perfectionist personality. And I just had a parent teacher conference with him or with her last week and was blindsided that she recommended that we seek professional help for him for his perfectionist personality.
Are you picking up nonverbals from me?
I am, and I love it. That was my response too after I digested it all and reflected on it, because she has not contacted me about the issues that she says he's having. And by the way, he's 99% in his class, and
he's not perfect. Then he's not perfect.
Well, exactly.
He's a percent short.
Right.
Can't believe he's
now,
your kid.
I mean, he has had some OCD tendencies, and I have had some concerns about him. I'm not to the point of seeking professional help, but I do realize that there are things about his personality that I would like to be able to work with him on. So my question to you is, other than going to the extreme and seeking professional help, what advice do you have for me to be able to help him deal with change and wanting to get everything right the first time?
The reason I laughed when the teacher suggested therapy, first of all, I can't know what his or her reason was. I don't know that. I don't know what your son comes across as in her classroom. I'm assuming it's a her because most elementary school teachers are. 90%+ of them are. Is that true? It's a she?
Yes, it's a she. And okay. The specific example that she gave me when I asked her was that she had given him a pretest. And there were questions on that pretest that she hadn't covered, and that was okay, that it was just to gauge where his knowledge was. And he had a really hard time with that and shut down, and he had shed some tears because of it. That's the example that she gave. But she said it's not all day, every day. And like I said, even though she called it extreme, none of the examples she gave me was extreme.
See, I hate when the break comes in here and interrupts us, because I'll carry you through the break. Because I'm already going to use this as a look-back call, and Andrew knows it's going to have to be before and after the break, because this is a good call for a lot of reasons. Alrighty, Laura, you stay there. I'll be back after the break.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I often go back to my childhood. In church, we love to be reverent, to Christ present in the Eucharist, to Christ on the cross. But I was also impressed by the reverence of my friends in the Salvation Army. They had a little band, and I used to walk past the band on Sunday morning on my way to church. And I was just a child, but I said, you know, they're trying to pray to God. They're showing reverence to God. All this was reverence. Now what do I see? I hear one irreverence after another. And week after week, month after month, the media churns out things that make fun of religion in general and make fun of Christianity in particular, and particularly make fun of the Catholic Church. No class. Absolutely no class.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Now, I know I'm getting older. My address book. Got an address book. Remember those? Nobody has address books anymore. But I have one. And all of the names in it start with doctor. All right. Dr. Ray, thank you for joining me here. I'm talking to a delightful young mother, Laura from Indianapolis, Indiana. Came back from a parent-teacher conference, a little bruised. You want to go to a parent-teacher conference and you want to hear the teacher say, he's wonderful. I wish I had a whole classroom full of him. And then you think, no, let me show you a picture of the kid. All right? Is I got the right school here? What district is this? Now, Laura says, the teacher suggested perhaps therapeutic intervention. Therapy. For this 7-year-old who, well, is a little too perfectionistic for the teacher's liking. Laura says, wait a minute. So, Laura, you still there?
I am.
You know, I used you as a bit of vengeance, Laura. You represent all the faceless girls in college who hung up on me. And what I did is I put you on hold and I made you wait because there was no girl in college who ever stayed on hold for me, ever. If I even said, excuse me 1 second, I have to blow my nose, I came back, they're gone. They're gone. So.
Well, that's just a testament to how much you have grown, Dr. Ray.
Well, no. Not how much, Laura, how old I've grown. That's different. So, let me first about this whole therapeutic thing. In general, therapy with 7-year-old kids is quite ineffective. If it works, it generally works not because of therapy, but because of some kind of relationship. A kid who, like your son, who's real bright and wants to just be absolutely wonderful in everything he does, and if he doesn't, he cries. Well, okay, that's his persona. That's who he is. All right? I wouldn't look at that and go, oh my gosh, personality disorder for this little kid. That's the first thing. You said, she pointed out an example where she gave some pretest, and he didn't get them all, or he didn't understand it, and he just shut down and he started crying. And then you said, no, that's not all day, every day. That's just, you know, that's an example. Well, the first thing is, it's not all day every day. So this is how the kid responded to some tests that he thought he should get 100% because he, in his mind, is super bright, and anything that would somehow frustrate him is just a sign that he's just not as bright as he thought he was. That's what happened, right? Of course that.
Right.
And you see that at home. You try to correct the kid, and he melts down on you. You need to go up there and remake your bed. I did it good enough. I thought it was good enough. Right? Sound like him?
Correct.
I used to be like that.
Absolutely.
That's right. That was me. This is a personality trait, and it's his wiring, okay? It's kind of is who he is. And these are very hard things to change. Very hard. This is your son. When he does this kind of stuff, I'd play it down. I'd say, you know what, buddy? You ain't going to get every answer right, and that's the way it is. You can upset yourself about it all you want, but there's going to be a whole lot of tests that you're not going to know the answers. I would keep doing messages like that all the time. All the time. I would suspect that with your love as a mother and your stable family and all of that, he'll grow up and he'll be a little less perfectionistic, or we could substitute the word prideful. My daughter Hannah is a lifer in the Army. She is ranking up to major, we hope, very shortly. Hanny, you couldn't correct her. If you pointed out anything she missed on anything, you threw her for a loop. She pouted. She didn't want to hear it. Because in her mind, to make a mistake, how could she? She wasn't capable of mistakes. I think that's where your son is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he should have, in his mind, his little seven-year-old mind, he should have blown right through that test. And when he found out he couldn't, it was devastating. And the question becomes, well, okay, how then do I get him to not be devastated? Well, you just kind of keep reinforcing the whole idea of, hey, son, you're not going to be good at everything. That's life. That is the way it is. And you hope that with time he grows up. Now, I just saved you a whole bunch of money probably for therapy, you know, a ton.
Now, I've been listening to your show, and I remember hearing you say that for kids this young, it's not really that valuable. So
no,
that's why
it's not.
I didn't jump too extreme.
And the other problem you and I'm going to talk about this if I get a chance to look back, because Andrew's going to have to edit a lot of it because I talked so much. The whole idea that when a kid behaves outside of what someone thinks are the normal bounds, that automatically implies he needs therapy. Well, you know what? I do think, Laura, it just occurred to me. You do have a problem. I'm listening to him in the background, and he sounds very babyish. I think that's a bigger problem.
Yes, that's one of his younger brothers.
Yeah, come on, Laura. You're just hiding. I know it's him. Thank you, dear, for the call. I'll talk to you. Bye. Call me back. One point I want to make. We're going to go to your calls. We've got some folks up there waiting patiently. What typically happens is that people rush to call in at the top of the program. And then they think, well, okay, there's a whole bunch of people on the line. And therefore, I'm not going to call now. It's halfway through the show or it's two-thirds of the way. No. Call anytime. Calls are selected I've said this many times before, on all kinds of considerations. All kinds. And we try to get to people who have patiently waited. We do that they get a nod. However, it doesn't automatically mean if you call past the halfway point on the program, that's it. You're doomed to be at the end of the queue and you'll never get on. That does not mean that. 877-573-7825. Once again, I'm going to do a quick advertisement for the TV show. We are taping here in North Canton, Ohio, Walsh University, November 18 and 19. If you'd like to be part of the studio audience, we would love to have you. The 18th, we have Father Leo Padalinghug. I'm going to cook with him. That's right. Faith and food. Me and Father Leo. He cooks, I eat. That's my part of it. Like to be in the audience? Audience is a great part of the show. There's no question. We use you a lot. You ask questions. You clap a lot. And plus, if there's a lot of you, the clapping sounds a lot louder. It's really hard to get loud clapping when you got six people in the audience. Go to drray.com, D-R-R-A-Y.com. There is a pop-up there, I believe, as my web person told me. Or there is drray.com/tickets. You don't need tickets, but you do need to register. We've got to get some idea of how many folks are coming. It's very important. 18th, 19th, November, Walsh University, Northeastern Ohio, 5 and 7 p.m. Father Leo will be with us on the 18th, and on the 19th we have Dr. Tim Collins, the president of Walsh, as well as another delightful young man will be on too as our guest. And then we have all the segments with Father Larry and you and around the country and everything else. Love to have you. Fill it up. Load them up.
Hi, I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Facts for Christianity. When it comes to defending your faith to a friend, family member, or friends on social media who don't find the Bible or the Catechism relevant, how can we effectively present the facts, evidences, reasons, and personal experiences as evidence for Christianity? Here are four criteria that will help you always present a good argument. The evidence you present must be 1. Relevant. 2. Acceptable to your opponent. 3. Sufficient in number, kind, and weight. And 4. Robust enough to counter your opponent's strongest counter-argument. Yes, that will take time, study, and practice. But then as adults, we need to think like adults and not like little children. Be prepared to make a reasoned defense to anyone who asks you for an account of the hope and the facts for Christianity. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
What is the essence of the fourth commandment? In ordering us to honor our mother and our father, the Lord God has willed that after him we should revere our parents to whom we owe life and who have handed on to us the knowledge of God. The Catholic Catechism says the fourth commandment shows us the order of charity. It introduces the subsequent commandments concerned with special respect for life, marriage, earthly goods, and speech. It constitutes one of the foundations of the social doctrines of the Church. It is expressed specifically to children regarding their relationships to their parents because it is the most universal. But it also involves ties of kinship to the extended family and encompasses duties to elders, ancestors, pupils to teachers, employees to employers, citizens to their country, and to those who govern it. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Yeah, I know it's happening. As I'm getting older, it takes twice as long to look half as good. And I'm hoping that stays at that ratio. I don't want it to be three times as long to look one-third as good. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you so much for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Delighted to have you with me. Jenny from Nebraska. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Thank you for the call, dear.
Yes, thank you.
What is this severe anxiety? How would you describe that? How's it show itself?
It has times of severe and other times not. So she struggled with this since she was little, you know, since she was like 2. And what my husband and I have done, right or wrong, we've always just made whatever she's afraid of become a norm for her. Like,
you're smart.
Thank you to people when they talk to you.
You are smart.
You will go to softball practice.
Yes, well, very good.
We've done those things, and now the normal things that she still, I mean, she gets nervous for them, but it seems like all the other kids, maybe a little heightened, but she's not crying or refusing to go anymore. We're past that, but now we've reached a new peak where the last 9 months, it's been more, I can't go to sleep. Number one, I'm afraid to go to sleep. And then number two, if it spirals out of control, it goes to the point where mom and dad are going to be dead in the morning and the house is going to catch on fire. And it's just like off the wall, clawing, crying at night. So the only thing that we've figured out that somewhat helps, and it doesn't help all the time, but making sure that there's definite schedule and early sleep time. You know, we've recognized that she needs more sleep than our other children to not let those things explode. But it doesn't always work. And so the only thing I could think of to make it seem like a norm to her was I said, you know, Kara, you have gone to sleep 3,467 nights, which it could be all, you know, grandma's house, our house, but that didn't seem to help either. And so we're just really struggling with how do we handle that?
Well, you know why it didn't help, Jenny?
No.
because you used reason.
Oh, okay.
In your daughter's fretful personality style that she's had since a little girl, which means she was wired that way.
Mm-hmm.
She may be a fretful adult. And she just may be the kind of individual that once she's out of your home and you're not there to make her confront uncomfortable social situations, she could drift into what the shrinks call social anxiety, which is...
very much could see that happening. So we're trying to help her avoid that now.
Your response, my opinion, your instincts are brilliant. Because what you did, and the way you put it was so nice, I may steal it for a future book. You said you wanted to make it be the norm. That's right. What you did is you in essence, forced her, if you want to use that word, you did. You forced her to confront the situation that she now, she's now reassessed all the threats that she thought was originally in those situations never came to pass, so she isn't as distressed. Yeah, she's still uncomfortable, but it's not debilitating like it was.
Correct.
If you would have let her avoid that, oh, I'll tell you what, you'd probably have a little kid that wouldn't want to go from one room to the next. And by the way, I've seen those.
Mm-hmm.
So I think your approach to it has been very good. Now,
okay.
The whole sleeping thing. Has she gotten to the point where she gets herself so upset and so resists you leaving that she throws a fit?
Oh, yes, but I'm kind of a mean mom. So when I say I'm leaving, you can keep throwing your fit. But at the same time, there have been times where she, like, stops breathing. And then I'm staying because I'm trying to calm her down. And
what do you mean stop? Wait, how do you stop breathing? You're going to pass out if you stop breathing.
Yeah, like crying so hard, she kind of
gags.
You can start seeing her face kind of start turning purple, like she's not getting a lot of air.
Okay, and then does she pass out?
No, I get her to start doing the deep breaths. You know, like I'll count and she'll breathe in for so many. And then breathe out, and she does really good. But a lot of times, it'll get to that point, even though I try to get her to breathe and do that beforehand. But that doesn't happen. That's probably happened maybe 8 times since January. But otherwise, it's not every night that it gets to that point. And we've recognized if we get her to bed early, then it usually we catch it before it gets to that point. But there's still a lot of crying and.
Okay.
Trying to claw you and keep you there.
whatever she frets, you do what you have to do. You put a light on. You put a picture of a guardian angel up. Whatever you do to make the room safe for her. And then you don't keep going back up there.
Right. No, once I leave, I'm done.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the incredible distress where she gets so carried away. That my daughter did that once on us. She got so shook up that she passed out. All right. And then she came back in about 3 seconds. So I would tell your daughter, honey, if you want to cry, you can cry. You're allowed to cry until you cry yourself to sleep. That's fine. But I'll tell you what, though, if you get so distraught, you cry so hard. That I think it's kind of drifting into throwing a fit, which it probably sounds a little bit like a fit's part of it, doesn't it? It's almost like get back in here right now, right? One of those things?
No, No, she really doesn't do that too much. It's more like, I'm terrified.
I don't mean she verbalizes that.
Yes, that's in actions, yes.
Yes, that's the message. Get in here. Mm-hmm. I'm really upset. Mm-hmm.
Right.
If it were me, now this is where I could get all kinds of email yelling at me, and so I'm just going to anticipate the email yell at me and just tell all you people, don't email yell at me, okay? Because I know what I'm talking about. I would tell her, you know what, sweetheart? I love you so much. I don't want you to get yourself so upset that your face turns colors. So if that happens, I will come in and I will calm you down. However, tomorrow, you're going to lose a ton of privileges. There was no reason for you to do this. Now, people say, but Dr. Ray, wait a minute. This is natural distress. You can't. This is not a misbehavior. It may not be. But the problem is, unfortunately, lots of times natural distress feeds on itself. And
right.
then it does become a bit of a problem. And that's what it sounds like a little bit is happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she can't resist going to some of these activities that you make her go to. But nighttime's a different story. Nighttime,
right.
I can do a lot of different things to show you how distraught I am over this. And I think what you do have to show her is that there is no danger in laying in your bed. There is no reason to be terrified of anything laying in your bed. And, of course, if you're going to think that and do that, then I'm going to help you over time see that laying in your bed and falling asleep is not a trauma. And part of what I'm going to do is if in fact I think that part of this is a demand, and it can be, there's no question,
mm-hmm.
it can be, then I'm going to do something about that part.
Okay. Well, and her sister sleeps in the room where they have a bunk bed. And her sister gets very upset just because she feels so bad for her if she's crying. Then
you
she
tell
has
her
a
sister,
hard time going to sleep.
That's all right. As you take care of your daughter, it'll take care of the sister. But you tell her sister, you know what, honey? We're going to help her. And so give us some time before this. This will eventually get better. In the meantime, you're probably going to have to get woken up. But if she throws a major league fit, then I'm going to do something about that. And my guess would be what will happen here, Jenny, is that she'll still be distraught, but she'll not get to the point where she escalates so high into the stratosphere that you have to act, mother.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Call me back. Call me back in a week or two. I got to run. I'm way past break. Call me back in a week or two. This is Dr. Ray. I'll be right back.
Did you hear anything?
I thought I did. Don't like hearing noises, especially when there ain't supposed to be any.
Dr. Ray has more great advice coming up. Don't go anywhere. And that's a doctor's order.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The EWTN home video highlight for October is the EWTN Family Celebration from Denver, Colorado. John Ed Williams, Father Mitch Pacwa, Dr. David Anders, Father Innocent, Father Augustino, and Father Angelus show us how faith can move mountains. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 14. This is Jesus in the upper room with the disciples before he's going out to his sacrifice of himself for our salvation. And Philip says to the Lord, "Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." Jesus looks at Philip and says, "Philip, have I been with you all this time? Don't you understand? When you see me, you're looking at the Father." In fact, only two people throughout human history have given rise to the question, not who is he, but what is he? The two people are Buddha and Jesus. Buddha's answer was, don't come to me, don't look to me, look to my doctrine, look to what I teach. Jesus' answer was, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Jesus is explicitly claiming to be God.
Forgot to say something. Good Lord permitting, Dorina reminded me of this. I'm going to go to her in a second. October 18 and 19, I will be men's conference, Diocese of Rochester. And on the 18th, where did David tell me I'm going to be? I actually have to look this up on the phone here. Where is it? No, you don't look there. See, I got this phone. In the old days, I used to be able to just go right to where I was supposed to be. And now I can't find it. Where is he? There it is. It is, where is this place? St. Bernard's, I guess, on Friday, October 18th in the evening. It's a talk on marriage. And then on the 19th, the Diocese of Rochester Men's Conference. Apparently, Dorina is competing with me, and I will just have to have her removed from her speaking slot. Dorina, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Where are you speaking?
I'm speaking at Christ the King Church the same night in Irondequoit. And the thing was, it's like, I'm one of your biggest fans. I think you're hilarious. I've called you 3 or 4 times. I have 7 kids. I always try to listen to your show. I think you're hilarious. And my husband does not think you're funny. He told me right out, he does not think you're funny. And he gets to see you at the men's conference, which I think is very unfair. Then I said, I'm going to volunteer when the table's there at the men's conference so I could get just a glimpse of you.
So he's, are you going
to? Happy to tell me. I'm going to try. Yes, I'm going to try to get there. And then he told me just a couple days ago, guess what? Dr. Ray is going to be speaking on marriage here in Rochester. And it's for free. And I was like, oh, my goodness. He knew how excited I was. And then he said, it's the same time as your talk. And he said, we're competing now? Oh, my gosh. How can I compete with Dr. Ray? And how can he do this to me? His biggest fan here in Rochester. So,
well, you know, Dorina, you're making it sound like it's bigger than it is, because I only have 4 fans in Rochester. So you're top of the 4. But I will tell you this. All right. Your husband is going to come home with his tail between his legs. And you know why? Because he's going to say, I don't think the guy's funny. When he hears this talk, which is heavy, heavy, heavy humor. It is far more humor than anything I do on the radio, by far. And when he comes home, you look at him and you say, well, do you still think he's not funny? You know, give him that wife look that says, I told you, and you don't listen to me. When will you learn?
I know. He just doesn't get the good humor, I guess, like I do.
Doreen, what's his first name?
His name is John.
All right. Well, I'm going to probably, if I remember, say something about John in the talk.
Oh, he'll love that. I'm hoping to be there. Like I said, I'm hoping to get a glimpse of you. I'm going to be doing one of the tables outside the men's conference, and just to be able to just see you and say, oh, there's Dr. Ray. Yay. So,
Dorina, you know, no offense, dear, no offense. You really got to get a life.
Okay?
This is sad.
I was saying out loud, I was thinking, oh no,
yes,
that doesn't sound.
A mother of 7 children, you don't get out of the house. I understand this. I basically realized that I'm competing with your time in the bathroom, because when you go to the bathroom and you lock the door, that's your sanctuary. So for a woman who thinks a bathroom is a sanctuary, I'm not all that excited if she wants to see me.
Right. Oh, wow. I am. I think you give great advice. I think you have great humor. So hopefully we'll see each other in a couple of days. But good luck with your talk.
That would be wonderful, dear. Thank you.
Awesome.
Tell John I said hi, and tell him I said he has no sense of humor whatsoever.
I will. All right. See ya. All right. Good luck to you. Bye-bye.
For those of you who did not get on, who called, and I was really wanting to go to Minnesota, truly wanted to, you call back, you'll be first up. So your call wasn't wasted because you essentially bought first up coupon for the next program. If you call, you come straight up onto the program. Thanks so much, everybody. Thanks, Andrew Krucek. Thanks, Eric Dumont, for call screaming. And what else can I say? Not a whole lot else. Good Lord permit. I'll see you tomorrow. Walk with God. You got kids? Hold them tightly by the hand. Karina, I don't know what she can do. She got seven of them. Babies that can have them hold each other's hands. But maybe wash first.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Thanks a lot. Bye.